Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to this episode of Mid Liberty. I am your host, Caleb Franz. This is the voice of liberty for a new generation. I am thrilled to be here. I am thrilled to have you here. Welcome to the program. Thank you for making this program possible. Everything that you see right now with the Mid Liberty Initiative, everything that we are doing is all possible because of you and because of your support. And if you know somebody who wants to support us in more ways than one, then please try to reach out to me. Of course, my Twitter is always open, let's see what we can collaborate on, because that's kind of the whole purpose of this program, and it's especially the whole purpose of the Mid Liberty Initiative. So this week, today's episode in particular, and all the way up until next Wednesday, October 31st, which is Halloween, we are going to be having programming devoted to our Horrors of Collectivism series. Now, last year we had this go on all month of October. This year we're doing it a little bit differently. Instead of having it all month, we're going to be doing it same number of programming, just all within a week time frame, roughly. And it's still the same sort of content. We are going to be going over the true monsters of history, the true things that should keep you up at night, both in the realm of right-wing collectivism and left-wing collectivism. Last year, we had three programs centered around this. Our first one was on Venezuela and all the things that are occurring in Venezuela. The following episode was looking into our own past here in the United States. That is, if you are listening into the United States. If not, then looking into the past of the United States. And seeing the roots that many countries, how many countries look to us for inspiration for either Nazism or communism. In the early 20th century, there were some really radical things that occurred in the early 20th century at the hands of many people in the eugenics movement. Many people who were running for president around that time, some people too, in which who actually became president around that time. And then, of course, to round it all off, I decided to do the biggest horror of all time, and that was the reign of Mao Zedong in communist China. This year, we are continuing that. Thread. This year, of course, is the 101st anniversary of communism. Marx kind of gave birth to many of the same ideas much earlier, but the Soviet Revolution, the Red October, that occurred 101 years ago this month. And to keep in theme with that, I want to tell a story that has been very much overlooked throughout history. If you ask somebody about this story, chances are 9 out of 10 people are not going to know what the hell you're talking about. It is something that is just as, if not more, horrific than the Holocaust. It is something that had potential, in some estimates, it had a higher death toll than the Holocaust. But nobody talks about it. Now, this may be for several reasons. I think it's very easy to look at the Holocaust and say, why is it that we always talk about this and nothing else? Well, that's, partly because we fought a war against Nazi Germany. If we didn't do that, then it probably wouldn't be as popular as what it is. And we won the war, to double down on that. And U.S. forces scoured through death camps and concentration camps to actually find out what was going on there, and we were able to translate that to the rest of the world. That didn't occur in other countries. That didn't occur in Mao's China. That didn't occur in the Soviet Union under Stalin, which led to the Soviets in particular being able to cover some of this stuff up a lot easier. Now, yes, we had a Cold War, but remember, it was a Cold War. It wasn't, bullets weren't actually fired between the United States and the Soviet Union. So it was a lot easier for dictatorial regimes like the Soviet Union and dictators like Joseph Stalin to be able to cover things like this up. And what I am speaking of is an event known as the Holodomor. The Holodomor, and this is something that I will get into as you will hear very shortly, I'll tell the entire story, but the Holodomor literally means to kill by starvation or death by hunger. This is something that the Ukrainian people suffered greatly at the hands of Joseph Stalin, well before Adolf Hitler even thought of the idea of concentration camps and the final solution. This is something that was so incredibly evil that it was kind of petty too. He did this. Joseph Stalin did this because of the Ukrainian independent movement that was occurring. They were resisting collectivization. They were resisting, and wasn't even the whole country, but a very particular, very small group of people in Ukraine. They were resisting collectivization. They were resisting communism, and they did not want to be part of the Soviet Union. Now, as we all know, they eventually did become part of the Soviet Union. They did not win that battle. And because they did not win that battle, one of the most atrocious and most forgotten atrocities in human history occurred. The Ukrainian people are truly some of the most impressive and most resilient people and on the face of the earth. They faced not only communism at the hands of Joseph Stalin that almost eviscerated their entire population, but they faced Nazism at the hands of Hitler too. They faced both fronts at the same time practically, and they are still as resilient as ever, and they are as resolved as ever at fighting the ideas of collectivization, whether it be right-wing collectivization or left-wing collectivization. But as I said, this is really a story that is not for the faint of heart. There are a lot of things, as you can probably assume, if I'm comparing it to the Holocaust, it's not going to be a very pretty story. I tweeted out yesterday that working on the Horrors of Collectivism series means that my seasonal depression goes up considerably during the month of October, during the time that I work on this, because not only is, you know, the day getting shorter and temperatures are getting colder, but also I'm fully embracing myself and encompassing myself into these stories and these tales of death and despair and genocide, and it's just horrible. But these are important stories that must be told. These are important lessons in these stories that tell all of the ugliest sides of collectivism. There is no part of collectivization, whether it be from Nazis, whether it be from communists, whether it be from socialists, whether it be from racists here in America, whether it be from nationalists, it does not matter. All collectivization is wrong. All collectivization is evil, and it strips your humanity away from the individual. Once you do that, you can get away with almost anything in the name of the common good, as you will shortly here find out as what occurred in the Holodomor. So I must warn you that this is not for the faint of heart, but take that as you will if you are to continue to listening to this, and please share this knowledge with your friends and with your family when talking about not just the Soviet Union, not just communism, but collectivism as a whole. There is a reason why the series is called The Horrors of Collectivism, because it is a terrifying when it comes down to it, when it gets to its absolute worst and barbaric in many circumstances, as is the case here. So sit back and listen to this first edition of this season of our Horrors of Collectivism series, and we will have more to come after this. But please sit back and listen to, learn, absorb the tales and the terrors that I'm about to tell you of the horrors of the Holodomor. When thinking of mass genocides or ruthless dictators, most people gather images of Adolf Hitler, Nazi flags, and the Holocaust. All of these images are certainly worthy of those labels. But if asked to branch out further than the events that occurred in Germany surrounding World War II, most people can't think of a dictator as ruthless or a genocide as tragic. Those who can usually are only familiar with surface-level knowledge. They might mention Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, or the Kim family in North Korea. Yet, the extent of their knowledge of events that occurred during those regimes are few and far between. Last year on Miliberty, during the October Horrors of Collectivism series, our last episode highlighted the catastrophe that was the Great Famine under the previously mentioned Chairman Mao. For this episode, we are investigating the real-life monster that inspired Mao and the greatest genocide that you have never heard of. Today, we are going over Joseph Stalin and the horrors of the Holodomor. After Vladimir Lenin died, Stalin quickly rose to power. As he ascended to the leader of the Soviet Union, he sought to fully realize the collectivist dream of Marx and Lenin. Where they failed, he would not. However, in order to achieve this classless society, he quickly understood that one person must become the most powerful class of all, the government class. In order to eradicate want of power and money, he must obtain the power. He must control the money, so that the spirit of capitalism could be kept at bay. In order for communism to be achieved successfully, it required collective unity, which he realized meant that political dissenters cannot be tolerated. Throughout Stalin's reign of terror, nowhere was this more apparent than in the country of Ukraine. Stalin was quick to absorb them into the Soviet Union and did not recognize their national sovereignty. He knew that Ukraine was a very strategic country that allowed the Soviet Union access to the rest of Europe. It was the bridge, if you will, that connected Russia and Western Europe. Ukraine was also strategic by means of resources. In order for communism to work, in Stalin's mind, there had to be enough food to go around. That was something that Russia was lacking, but Ukraine had an abundance of. The Ukrainian people, however, did not like the idea of collectivization. They liked the lives they lived, for the most part, and had no interest in giving up their private property in order to help Stalin achieve his communist goals. In the beginning, the people of Ukraine resisted Stalin's collectivization, fighting back, both metaphorically and literally, but ultimately, they had no chance to win against the communist forces of the Soviet Union. In order to not only make sure the Ukrainian people were supplying enough for the rest of the Soviet Union, and as a form of punishment for political dissent, Stalin's next act would change the country of Ukraine forever. Rather than punishing the Ukrainians with a swift display of blunt force, Stalin had a different idea. The very food he came there for, he would turn into a weapon against the Ukrainian people. A slow, torturous death, rather than a quick and painless one. The following events between 1932 and 1933 would eventually become known as the Holodomor. Holodomor is a Ukrainian term which literally translates into kill by starvation or death by hunger. The use of this term is no mistake. Rather than a famine of natural causes, this was entirely intentional and resulted in far worse than anything that has occurred in nature. In the beginning, Stalin sent Soviet forces and secret police in to purge the Ukrainian government and instituted Soviet authorities into power. After that, they proceeded to confiscate all grain supply left in the country so that it may become collective property of the USSR from that point forward. But they didn't stop there. Once the Soviets seized the means of production in Ukraine, they proceeded to confiscate the production itself, going from house to house. Any privately owned or grown food was confiscated and became collective property. Bread, fruit, meat, vegetables, and more were seized by the Soviets from people's homes for the collective good. The Soviets then put a limit on how much food the Ukrainians could take to survive for themselves from the commune. The quote, "law of the 5 ears of wheat" became enforced across the nation. To ensure people didn't take more than what was allowed, it read, "Use judicial repressions of the highest degree as measures of social protection against theft of collective farm property. Execution by shootings and confiscation of all property." Stalin enforced hefty restrictions on the freedom to travel, almost abolishing it entirely for the people of Ukraine. He used Soviet secret police to completely close off the borders, thus ensuring that people could not escape and goods from the outside world, including food, could not enter. Passport laws were passed so that the peasantry wouldn't even be able to travel into the cities. The people of Ukraine were essentially trapped right where they stood. When all was said and done, the Holodomor did not last very long, but the devastation was unheard of at the time. During the height of the genocide in June of 1933, an average of 28,000 people died every single day. During Stalin's reign of terror, it's estimated that 20 million people died due to his dictatorial regime. Among them, the total death toll in Ukraine is estimated to range from 6 to 8 million people. Some go even higher. The total death toll isn't even the most horrific fact about the Holodomor. The lifestyle of the Ukrainian people during the long death is something from a horror novel. On the tame end, in the early days of the famine, people would randomly faint in the middle of the day, out in public. People quickly came to just accept it as the new way of life. Often, if people fainted, nobody was in any condition to help them, and people died right then and there from malnutrition. It became so common that Soviet death squads were formed to collect the dead, but after a while, they simply ignored it, often stating, "We won't come to get them tomorrow." One surviving woman described her lifestyle during the Holodomor, stating that because food was so scarce, quote, "We went around looking for quail's nests, and we took the eggs and ate them. And when there were baby quails, we would eat them there, just like that." As barbaric and horrifying as eating live baby quail is, that was merely the tip of the iceberg. Conditions in the Soviet-controlled Ukraine became so bad that cannibalism became rampant and common across the country. Author Timothy Snyder wrote in his book Bloodlands, Europe Between Hitler and Stalin, "Survival was a moral as well as a physical struggle. A woman doctor wrote to a friend in June 1933 that she had not yet become a cannibal, but was, quote, not sure if I shall not be one by the time my letter reaches you. The good people died first. Those who refused to steal or to prostitute themselves died. Those who gave food to others died. Those who refused to eat corpses died. Those who refused to kill their fellow man died. Parents who resisted cannibalism died before their children did." Cannibalism became so widespread that Soviet officials started to put up posters that stated, "To eat your own children is a barbaric act." The irony of the Soviet Union stating what is and is not barbaric should not be lost upon you. After all was said and done, more than 2,500 people were convicted of cannibalism during the Holodomor. And those were just the ones that were officially discovered, many of whom were found eating their children. While the Holocaust was one of the most horrific and brutal events in human history, it was far from an isolated incident spawned out of Nazi fascism. The Holodomor is yet another example of a cruel and terrifying genocide under the wing of collectivism. Collectivism takes many forms, from Nazism to communism, nationalism, racism, socialism, and so on. Yet no matter which form it takes, it always strives to strip the individual away from their humanity. And sometimes, as is the case of the Holodomor, it can have barbaric results. And ladies and gentlemen, that is our episode for today. Like I said, it is not something that is an exciting or fun topic to discuss, but it is still a topic and a point of discussion that has to be had. It has to be discussed, because if we do not continue and unravel these stories throughout history, we have to look to our past to find the key to our future. We have to do that in order so that way we don't make the same mistakes again, so that we can look out for the same warning signs. Not necessarily saying that that would happen in America, but it certainly can happen throughout certainly other countries across the world. And this always happens at the hands of collectivism. That is our true enemy. Whenever we strip the individual away from their humanity, nothing good can come of it. Like I said, please go out and share this with everyone that you know or everyone that you think that needs to hear a story like this. This is probably a good episode to share around Halloween weekend. I definitely didn't hold back when when bringing this series back to you. Soon, very shortly, I'm not sure what day, but very shortly, I do have an idea of what topic. I haven't decided entirely, but I do have an idea of what topic we are going to be touching on next. So just be looking out for that within the next few days. And we'll try to get that to you as quickly as possible. And like I said, we'll have at least one more after that before Halloween comes out. And then we will get into more episodes of Miliberty post-Halloween. I've got at least one more candidate interview lined up for you before Election Day. Shortly after that is with the Lieutenant Governor candidate for Ohio. And it's the Libertarian Party candidate. So I'm very excited about that. And then after that, we have several other interviews lined up for you. So it's gonna be pretty packed and pretty stacked for the next few weeks. Like I said, please be sure to share this. Please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't yet, or if you're still confused as to which, you know, Miliberty, make sure it's the one that says the Miliberty Initiative underneath, because the one that has the Outset logo on it is no longer, it's no longer the feed that is continuing. So be sure to do that. Subscribe to us on iTunes so you'll never miss an episode or an update, and share it with your friends. Follow me on Twitter at Caleb Franz. Be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Miliberty. Be sure to follow the Miliberty Initiative on Twitter at Miliberty.org. And check us out on Miliberty.com. And be sure to check us out on Facebook at the Miliberty Initiative. Lots of Miliberties there. We've got our branding on point there. So, without further ado, until our next episode, until our next edition in our Horrors of Collectivism series, we'll see you.